Welcome to episode 19 of the Fredcast for the week of May 29th, 2006. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome back to another episode of the Fredcast. Thanks for sticking with us through just a little bit of a hiatus. In today's episode of the Fredcast, there's a new doping scandal in professional cycling. We've got the results of the just-completed Giro d'Italia, as well as the Volta a Catalunya. Some comments from Jan Ulrich on Ivan Basso, as well as some comments from Bjarne Riis about Ivan and Jan Ulrich. No new bike taxes in Canada, a new Apple-Nike partnership, and much more. Following the news, great feature sent in from a listener about how to create elevation profiles without using a GPS. Some new and notable sites on the internet, as well as some upcoming rides, and finally, some shout-outs. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes your Fredcast. Well, welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for sticking with the Fredcast. It's good to be back with you and bringing you the news from all around the world of cycling. We've got a lot of news to cover tonight, so we're going to get right into it right now. Well, as much as we'd like stories like this one to go away, I am sorry to report that there's yet another doping scandal in the world of professional cycling, and this one has to do with the Spanish Liberty Seguros cycling team, and it really could be a big one when all is said and done. Now, if the terms Liberty Seguros and doping sound like they go together, that's because we've talked about them together on this show before in relation to Roberto Harris, last year's first place finisher in the Vuelta a España. Harris was suspended from cycling and stripped of his title as the winner of the Vuelta because of his positive test for the performance-enhancing drug EPO. This time, the scandal involves the director of the Liberty Seguros cycling team, Manolo Saiz, as well as the team physician, Eufemiano Fuentes. Both men were arrested by the Spanish Civil Guard in Madrid last Tuesday. Now, according to news reports, a Civil Guard spokesman confirmed that the operation is still open and that at least five people, including Saiz and Fuentes, were originally detained. Now, apparently the investigation surrounds a practice that's known as autotransfusion, and this is where the blood of athletes who have just trained in the mountains is extracted from those riders, and that's at a point when their oxygen levels are obviously very high, and then it's later injected into other riders during a competition. Now, if that practice sounds familiar, that's because it's really, really similar to the one that landed American Tyler Hamilton in trouble and caused his two-year suspension from cycling. Now, the scandal actually may reach beyond the Liberty Seguros team, because reports that I've read say that the two doctors who are alleged to have been involved in manipulating and cleansing the blood samples of up to 200 athletes at a laboratory where they worked in Madrid. Now, as a response to the allegations, the insurance company Liberty Seguros has withdrawn its sponsorship of the team. And a statement from Liberty Seguros said, quote, "As sponsors, we've always wanted to promote a culture of fair play and zero tolerance with respect to doping. In November 2005, after the suspension of a rider, and by this they mean Roberto Harris, for doping, we made our contract one of the most rigorous with regard to the subject. The implications and consequences of the detention of Manolo Saiz are highly worrying. They damage our name and the name of cycling. We have canceled our agreement with the owners of the team and will respect outstanding financial obligations." So the bottom line here is that the Liberty Seguros team is literally crumbling all around the riders just because of the wrongdoing of some doctors and some fairly high ups in the team. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen to the team and to the riders, whether or not we're going to see them at the Dauphiné Libéré or whether we're going to see them at the Tour de France, and really what jersey they're going to be wearing. But this is a really, really troubling development in the world of cycling. And we'll see what happens, and I'll certainly let you know as the weeks go on what the results have been of the investigation. Well, when we last spoke here on the Fredcast, it was very early in this year's Giro d'Italia, and Ivan Basso had just taken the leader's pink jersey, the so-called Maglia Rosa. Well, The Giro ended this weekend, and it was a clear and decisive victory for Team CSC and Ivan Basso. Basso dominated the Giro this year, winning three stages and holding onto the Maglia Rosa for 14 straight days. Now, in addition to his success, he also helped Team CSC win the team time trial during the first week of this year's Giro. This was a spectacular win for Ivan, especially after last year's disappointing outing when stomach problems came up during the difficult climb of the Stelvio Pass and causing him to lose an hour and the race lead. Ivan, after the race, was quoted as saying, quote, "It's a beautiful, happy day for me. I had been dreaming for years of a day like this." Second place in this year's Giro went to Jose Gutierrez Catalunya, more than 9 minutes back, and third place went to two-time Giro winner Gilberto Simoni, nearly 12 minutes back. Now, the big question on everyone's mind is whether or not Basso can do a double by winning the Giro and the Tour de France in the same year. Now, Basso, who finished second to Lance Armstrong in last year's Tour, is widely touted as one of the pre-race favorites for this year's Tour. And if he can indeed do the double, he would be the first rider since the late Marco Pantani did it back in 1998. Now, defending champion Paolo Salvadelli, the captain of the Discovery Channel team, unfortunately came in fifth overall because he had some breathing problems and some allergy issues. He was 19 minutes back. The 2004 Giro winner, Damiano Cuniego, he trailed Basso in all of his favorite mountain stages, and he ended up finishing fourth, 18 minutes back. As for our old buddy Jan Ulrich and his trick knees, we all know that Jan came into the Giro. This was his first major race of the year, and there were a lot of questions about his health, about his fitness, about his mindset, and whether or not he was really ready for the Grand Tours this year. And I have to say, sort of a mixed effort for him. He did win an individual time trial, but he really didn't do very well in the mountains at all. And of course, when the tour comes up, he's really going to have to shine in the mountains. And that was one of those areas where he was always battling it out with Lance. He ended up withdrawing back on Friday from the race after he was trailing Basso by nearly an hour. Of course, afterwards, Jan came out and he told everybody that the reason why he dropped out was because he really wasn't training for the Giro. His goal is really to go after the Tour de France. And he said he still believes that he's going to be very strong for the Tour. While he knows that Ivan is going to be tough competition for him, he still says that, according to him, I will be the protagonist. In other words, he's going to be the man to beat when it comes to the Tour. But I think based on his performance so far this year, other than that individual time trial, it really remains to be seen whether or not Jan is really up to the task for this year's Tour. So we will see what happens in just a little over a month now. Now, one side note to the Giro that really sort of, if you will, cast a shadow over Basso's win. And, you know, I'm not sure whether or not this is sour grapes, whether it was a joke on Basso's part, whether it's true or untrue, but I'm going to report it to you as I read it. And it's this. Gilberto Simoni, who we all know was very strong competition for Basso in this year's race, came out at the end of the race and accused Basso of offering to allow Simoni to win a stage if Simoni would give Basso money. Now, we don't know if it's true. Basso has categorically denied that this actually happened. But, you know, I can almost envision a situation where Basso might have said something and it may have been just a joke. Imagine you are sprinting with your buddy for, you know, that town line sign, and you know that you can beat him. And you sort of look over at him and you say, "Hey, give me $50. I'll let you win this one." You know, you're joking. And it is entirely possible that that's what may have happened here, or it just may be Simoni being upset about the fact that his legs just weren't as strong as Basso's, and, you know, he's just trying to get under Basso's skin, or he's trying to start a controversy where one doesn't exist. But it definitely cast a shadow over the win of Basso. But in the end, Basso came back and he said, quote, "I won't allow anyone to ruin my victory at the Giro. Now, of course, the Italian Cycling Federation says that they're going to open a formal investigation into the accusation. I think when all is said and done, you know, it's sort of a he said, and we'll never really know what happened. I tend to believe that even if Basso said something, he was totally joking, and there's no way that he was serious about it. And I think Simone's just upset about the fact that he didn't win. Well, while all eyes in the cycling world were on first Belgium and then Italy for this year's Giro d'Italia, there was another Pro Tour event going on just across the continent in Spain. And this one we've talked about before. It's the Volta Catalunya. And this year, the 86th annual Volta was won by David Cañada from Spain and the Sonier Duval team. Second place went to Santiago Botero from Colombia and the Phonak team. And third, Christophe Moreau from AG2R. And Christophe, of course, is from France. Interesting just to see some of the names that were in this year's Volta, some of the guys who are well-known Grand Tour riders, some of the guys that you're going to see coming up in a month or so at the Tour de France, but who decided to forego the Giro and to do the shorter Volta in order to win some coveted Pro Tour points. So, for instance, in the final stage, the stage 7 of the Volta, third place went to Eric Zabel, a name we all know from past Tours de France. Stuart O'Grady from Australia, everybody knows Stuart, great sprinter, somebody that we've seen very successful in years past. Filippo Pozzato from Quickstep took fifth place in the final stage. In the overall general classifications, interesting to note, Levi Leipheimer from the United States, 20th place in this year's Volta. So a lot of good Pro Tour riders taking part in this year's Volta in Spain instead of going to the Giro. And in the end, between both of these races, some slight changes in the overall Pro Tour rankings. Now sitting in first place of this year's Pro Tour rankings, Alejandro Valverde from Spain with 178 points. Second place, of course, Ivan Basso with 138 points, and in third, Tom Bonin from Belgium with 129 points. Among the teams, first place, Ivan Basso's team CSC with 177 points. Second place goes to Phonak with 161, and third, Jan Ulrich's T-Mobile team with 159 points. Now, the next Pro Tour event, and the one that we're all looking forward to at this point, is the Dauphiné Libéré, and that begins June 4th, and it goes through the 11th. That is the quintessential prelude to every year's Tour de France, and we're going to see some of the very well-known Pro Tour riders there really giving it their all. Now, some of the riders won't even go. Some of the riders will decide not to go to the Dauphiné and instead go out and scout some of the upcoming stages of the Tour de France and really go ride those. And if you've read some of Lance's books, you know that that's something that, he did every year. He would go and he would ride, especially some of the mountain stages, in order to really find out where were the best places to attack, where were the best places to sit back and let the peloton do its thing. So Dauphiné Libéré is coming up June 4th. Should be very interesting racing to see who's there and how their form is as they get ready for the big one, the Tour de France. Well, following the Giro and last week's racing, some interesting comments are coming out about who might be the lead contender for this year's Tour de France. Interestingly, of course, Jan Ulrich came out on Monday and he announced that he has no doubt that Ivan Basso is definitely going to be his main competition for this year's Tour. But he then went on to say, quote, "Basso was excellent in the Giro, but the competition will be fiercer in the Tour de France." Basically, Ulrich came out and he said that he really believes that he is the one to beat, not Basso, and that Basso is really going to have his work cut out for him in this year's Tour. Meanwhile, Bjarne Riis, who is the man in charge of Team CSC, Ivan Basso's Team CSC, he came out and he said that there was no doubt that Basso was the one to beat. And, you know, in his words, of course, I don't think he said it exactly this way, he doesn't believe Ulrich can hang in this year's Tour. According to Reese, he said that Basso has started to copy Lance Armstrong's riding style during mountain stages. He said, quote, "We saw that Armstrong rode small gears and was very agile on the climbs, and that uses your muscles differently and allows you to change pace more easily." He continued, quote, "We know that Jan Ullrich can't do that because he pushes big gears, and so we're convinced he'll struggle to stay with Yvonne when he accelerates on the climbs in the Tour de France." He said, he continued by saying, "This is the best Yvonne I've ever seen. He's shown he's at another level compared to last year and that he's the rider of the future. I'm convinced Yvonne will be strong enough to be competitive in the Tour." So, of course, there's a lot of posturing going on between the individual riders and between the directeurs sportif of the individual teams. And, of course, you know, the proof will actually be on the pavement of France coming up in July, and we will see. But I really do believe that these are probably the two guys who are most well-positioned for winning the Tour. And then, of course, we can't leave out some of the Americans. Floyd Landis, Levi Leipheimer, George Hincapie, Tom Danielson. There are some very, very strong contenders. And this is a Tour that is unlike the last seven, because this is one where we're not looking to one guy, as we have been, to repeat, or one guy to dominate. And I think that there's going to be a lot of surprises. And when they roll onto the Champs-Élysées at the end of July, I think it will have been a very, very interesting few weeks. I, for one, am really looking forward to it. Despite all the posturing, despite all the positioning, it all comes down to how they actually do on the road. Well, and a little bit of product news, and a little geek product news, if you will. Apple and Nike actually announced a partnership last week, and they actually used Lance Armstrong to help announce it. And this is one that so far looks like it's only for runners, but I don't think the cycling version of this could be too far behind. Basically, the product is a combination of an iPod Nano, which is, of course, the small, smaller version of Apple's iPod, and Nike, special Nike running shoes. And here's the way it works. You have something that's called the Nike iPod Sport Kit. And the sport kit consists of a chip, if you will, with a transmitter that goes into the bottom of specially designed Nike shoes. You can't use this with any shoes or even any Nike shoes. They have to be the special shoes that are designed for this little transmitter. It goes in your shoe. And then you have a little gizmo that attaches to the bottom of your iPod Nano. And now it turns your Nano into a very, very sophisticated pedometer. And so it reads out on the screen distance and speed information, just like your cycle computer does on your handlebars. And it also will give you the same information in your headphones, so that as you're running, you're listening to your music, it will also give you your distance and your speed information. And in sort of a neat little twist, Nike says that if you get to a spot in your run and you really need that extra boost of energy that only your special running song can give you, you push a button on your iPod, and I'm guessing that's probably the center button on the click wheel on an iPod, and your special high-tempo running song will automatically play for you to give you that extra boost of energy. Now, like some of the cycle computers that we also have, when you get home, you'll be able to take your iPod, just as you would sync it with iTunes on your computer, and it will actually sync your performance data onto your computer as well, so that you can graph it and you can store it for later and use it in running logs and things like that. Now, this is not a feature that's currently offered in the current versions of the iTunes software that Apple offers for both Windows and Mac. So this is obviously a feature that's coming up in a soon-to-be-released version of iTunes. Now, my take on this is that it seems to me that if this is something that we can do for running shoes, and if Nike's going to be using Lance Armstrong to help promote this, well, doesn't it seem obvious and sort of common sense that Apple and Nike are probably going to bring this to cycling as well? And if so, I mean, it would be a perfect fit with Nike's cycling gear and cycling shoes and cycling jerseys. It just seems like, to me, it's an obvious fit. And that's something that I think that we probably will see in the future. And if I was going to predict, I would say that would be something that we'll probably see fairly soon. Now, in a related move, Apple actually applied for a special patent. And this patent is for what they call a, quote, music synchronization arrangement for portable music players. And the patent was filed with the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office on November 24th, 2004. And according to the patent, quote, the invention pertains to a computing device that is capable of controlling the speed of the music so as to affect the mood and behavior of the user during an activity such as exercise. So remember, Nike talked about where you might be able to push a special button on your iPod and you'd be able to play your special song. Well, now imagine if you could use your iPod to not only play a special song, but to maybe find a song of the right speed for the activity that you were taking part in at that given time. And it seems to me that that may be what Apple's patent is talking about. So I think there's some very interesting times ahead for a synergy, or what we've talked about before on the show, a mashup of a couple of technologies here. Nike's athletic shoe and athletic clothing technology, along with Apple's music player and computing technology. So I think exciting times are ahead for runners, for cyclists, and for Freds. So here's a bit of good news for Canadian cycling and barbecue consumers, curiously enough. The Retail Council of Canada released a press release earlier this week praising the Canadian International Trade Tribunal for fighting against new taxes on bicycle and barbecue imports. Apparently, originally, the Canadian International Trade Tribunal recommended that additional taxes be imposed on both of those kinds of products, yet the Canadian government early this week decided that they were not actually going to impose those additional taxes. And they did this because they felt that it would impose too much of a burden, not only on consumers, but also on retailers. And according to the Retail Council of Canada, quote, this decision sends the right message to both retailers and consumers across the country. We congratulate the government for positively addressing this important trade issue. So there you go. If you're a Canadian consumer and you were worried that your next bike was going to have additional surtaxes on it, you can shop with confidence, knowing that no additional taxes will be imposed on your next bike or on your next barbecue. And finally tonight, special congratulations are definitely in order for one of mountain biking's most well-known racers of all time, and that is Ned Overend. Now, Ned Overend, if you don't know, was probably back in the late 80s and early 90s, one of mountain biking's most recognized faces, most recognized names, and he was also one of the winningest riders of all time. Ned is now 50, and he took part last weekend in Durango, Colorado's annual Iron Horse Bicycle Classic, which is a great race. It starts in Durango, heads up into the hills over some very difficult climbs and very difficult passes, and ends in Silverton. And the riders on road bikes are racing the Durango to Silverton railway cars as they go along the tracks from Durango to Silverton. Ned Overend, at 50 years old, placed in the top 10 of this year's ride, beating out 28 riders to place ninth in the professional division of this year's 2006 Iron Horse Bicycle Classic. After Sunday's Criterium, he received a special award and a special recognition for his 25 years of racing in the 35-year-old race. And if you want to know how Ned has done in the Iron Horse Bicycle Classic, he had a first-place finish in 1983, 1986, 1987, 1992. He also had 5 second-place finishes and 3 third-place finishes, and 2 of those were in the last 2 years. Now, I mean, this is just an amazing, amazing thing. I've met Ned. He's a really, really nice guy. When I was in the bike industry, I had a chance to have a sit down with him, and I just found him to be very, very personable, self-deprecating, sort of a shy guy. But I'll tell you, he gets on that bike and he just dominates. Now, back in the 80s and 90s, Ned was probably also most well known besides for his racing, also as a spokesman for Specialized Bicycling. He now works full time for Specialized, and apparently he's a very valuable asset of theirs in product development. According to the article that I read from the Durango Herald, Ed Zink, who is the organizer of the Iron Horse Bicycle Classic, was musing about how popular Ned is, even after all these years. And he said, quote, 2 hours after the race, so many people want to know, did Ned win? How did Ned do? He said, that's always the question. So even at 50 years old, here's somebody who is just dominating a younger man's game. And I think it's fantastic. So congratulations, Ned. We will look forward to seeing you in many, many more Iron Horse Bicycle Classics in the years to come. And that is going to do it for the news for tonight. As a Fredcast listener, you understand the value of podcasting as a complement to your favorite hobby, cycling. But did you know that businesses, charitable organizations, schools, and others are also using podcasting as a way to reach their customers, clients, and students? Podcasting can be an effective way to reach your target audience, but let's face it, the idea of producing your own podcast can be daunting, not to mention time-consuming. That's why I've started Fredcasting Productions. As an experienced podcaster, I can help produce, promote, distribute, and market your podcast to your target audience, no matter where you're located, and no matter what kind of business or organization you run. Fredcasting Productions can provide the production services necessary to provide you with world-class audio content targeted directly at your consumers. So whether you own a bicycle or other active sports-related retail store, run a manufacturing company, promote sporting events, or raise money for a charitable or political cause, send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. That's thefredcast@gmail.com. We can work within your budget to provide you with the right audio content to get your message across. Okay, first up in our features section for tonight was an email that I got from listener Neil from Beaverton, Oregon. And first of all, I want to congratulate Neil on finishing his very first century. So that's fantastic. Congratulations. Anybody who completes their first century, they know what a high it is at the end and what a sense of accomplishment you feel. So congratulations, Neil. But that is not why Neil emailed me. He emailed me because, like any good Fred, he's always looking for a great way to generate route sheets and route lists, as well as to create an elevation profile for either a ride that he's done or a ride that he's thinking about doing. And so he found a really geeky way, and I think it's fantastic the way he did it, of without using a GPS or any other onboard computer, of creating an elevation profile of a ride that you might want to do. And you may remember that back on a previous show, I mentioned gmaps.pedometer.com, and that was a way that you could create your own routes. But actually, Neil came up with a better way, and he actually went to the trouble of creating for us some very simple steps to creating our own elevation profiles. And this requires you to use Google Earth and a couple of other freeware applications that are out there on the net. So the first thing that you want to do is you want to get yourself to the show notes. Go to thefredcast.com and click on the show notes for show number 19. And you want to get a hold of three pieces of software and one link to a website. And these are in the show notes. And the first one is Google Earth. And Google Earth is available for both the Mac and the PC. So won't be a problem to download that and put that on your computer. The next one you need, and the next two are PC only applications. So they're only for Windows. So you either have to run those on your Windows PC, or if you have one of the new Intel based Macs and you're running Bootcamp or Parallels Workstation, you can run these. So number one, get Google Earth. There's a link in the show notes to that. Download it and put it on your computer. If you don't have it already, it is a fun time-wasting tool anyway, but now you're going to be able to put it to good use. Next, you want to get yourself a copy of a piece of software called GPS Babble. The next one that you want to get is Topo Fusion, and you're going to get a demo of that, and that's free to use. And if you like it, of course, like any good shareware, if there's a price associated with it, if you like it and keep it on your computer after you've used it for maybe 30 days or even 15, whatever the publisher says, make sure you go out and pay for it, because that makes sure that we have the ability to always have access to really good shareware and freeware on the internet. And then finally, you're going to want to use the services of gpsvisualizer.com, and there's a link in the show notes to the page that you want. So here's what you do. There's four very easy steps, and I'm going to leave these in the show notes for you as well so that you don't have to write them all down. But number one, you want to generate a route, and the way that you do that in Google Earth is pretty much clicking and dragging. Or you can enter in coordinates, or you can enter in addresses or turns. Go ahead and do that, and then you save it as a KML file, and that's a standard file that Google Earth will output for you. Then you want to use GPS Babble to convert the KML to a GPX format. That's Golf Papa X-ray format, and that's a standard GPS format. It's pretty simple to do. You want to select the input format, keyhole markup language, that's KML, and that's what Google Earth uses. And then you want to open your saved KML file in GPS Babble. Then you want to select the output format as GPX XML. Choose Save As and give it a file name, and then check each box for the waypoints, routes, and tracks, and then click the Let's Go button. Okay, next, you want to add what's called DEM data using Topo Fusion. You don't necessarily need to know what this is, but it has to do with elevations. And the way that you do that is you open the new GPX file that you just created using GPS Babble, but you open it in Topo Fusion. Then you select climbing analysis under the analysis menu, and then click on add elevation to track button, and that'll be on your lower left-hand side. Then close the window. And then in the lower right window, click on the trail name next to the red earth and save file. And then the earth is going to turn green again. Now it's time to create the actual profile. You do this now in GPS Visualizer, and you add the GPX file from the page that's linked in the show notes using the browse button. Then you choose whatever options you want. For instance, whether you want metric units or US units, and the other options that you'll see there. And then you click Generate Profile, and amazingly, it will create a profile of the route that you have just entered. And this really is a very quick process. You don't have to write down the steps that I've just given you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a couple of example files that Neil provided for us so that you can see the way that he was able to make this work. It is a really, really cool process. Very, very simple to do. Much easier than I probably made it sound. But go to the show notes for the steps on how to do it, for all of the links to all of the software that I've just mentioned to you, as well as for the sample files. And the next time that you're getting ready to do a ride that your buddy says is only 1,000 feet of elevation, plug it into Google Earth, run it through these couple of steps, and then when you find out that it's really 10,000 feet of elevation, maybe you want to go riding someplace else that day. So Neil, congratulations again on finishing your first century. It's an amazing feat for any cyclist, and I'm glad that you were able to do it. And thank you so much for providing these steps and these tools for the Fredcast listeners so that all of us can create our elevation maps whenever we want without actually having to go out and ride the route first. So we appreciate it, Neil. Thank you very much. Okay, next up tonight, I want to mention a couple of notable items on the internet, as I do from time to time, in a section that I call New and or Notable on the Net. Now, the first one, and this isn't exactly new, but something that I wanted to mention to you because it's about a guy that I've been corresponding with over the last couple of months, a gentleman by the name of Matt Troxler. Now, Matt isn't a famous cyclist or a famous athlete. He doesn't necessarily have a cause that he rides for. But Matt decided back in July of 2005 that he was going to ride his bike around the United States of America. And he's documenting his journey around the country at a website at www.pushingsilver.com. And he's had his ups, he's had his downs. Hurricane Katrina got in his way last year. I know as of a couple of days ago, he was dealing with some derailleur issues that he was talking about on his website, and I was emailing him about it. But he's just a regular guy who sort of got fed up a little bit with the rat race and decided to sell everything that he had and to go out on the road and really enjoy life and experience the United States and all that it has to offer by doing it on two wheels. So Matt will probably appear on the show at some point in the future, but right now, to get just a look at what he's doing and get a little bit of insight on what it's like to travel around the United States on a bike, go to Matt's website and check it out. I have really found it to be a very, very interesting journey and a very interesting website where really you can learn a lot about what it's like to do something like what Matt's doing. Now, the next website I want to tell you about is at www.cycle2max.com. And this was sent in to me by listener Trent from Melbourne, all the way down there in Australia. And Trent wanted us to know about it because there's a lot of websites out there that talk about routes and a lot of different places that you can go on your bike. But Cycle2Max is specifically dedicated to people who want to go out and do the altitude, do the elevation, climb hills. I got some friends who like doing that on the weekends, and I let them go out and ride all the way up to the top of Mount Baldy or ride up to Big Bear from Orange County and those kinds of things. And quite frankly, that doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but there's a lot of you out there that really do. You like to climb, and you like to gain as much elevation as possible. And this is the website for you. It's cycle2max.com, and it's a great place where you can learn about a lot of hill climbs in your area all over the world, and you can learn about other people that have attempted it, find out about what experiences they've had, and it's also a great place where you can track the amount of elevation that you've been climbing over the last year. So go to cycle2max.com if you are an elevation junkie. The next thing I want to tell you about, we talked a little bit a few minutes ago about Google Earth, and I told you what a great time-wasting application that is and something fun to do when you're at work and you just don't feel like getting any work done. And here's a great way for Freds, for cyclists, to be able to use Google Earth to really good ends. There is a website, and it's too long for me to mention here, so go to the show notes and click on the link next to Tour de France on Google Earth. And what you're going to find there is actual Google Earth files that will allow you to fly through the upcoming stages of the Tour de France. So if you've ever done Google Earth, you know that, for instance, you can put a route into Google Earth and you can literally fly through the terrain. You can fly through the Grand Canyon or around the Kremlin or around Manhattan. Or maybe you, like I've done, I've taken GPS files and brought them from rides that I've done. I've brought them into Google Earth and then I've flown through those routes on my computer. Well, the great thing is now you can actually preview the Tour de France routes right on Google Earth on your computer. So go ahead and click on the show notes, click on the link, and download those to your computer and play with them. They're a lot of fun. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. Finally, the last thing new and notable on the net is a new website that listener Clint wanted to tell us about, and it's actually a website that he has put up himself. And I don't mind promoting it because it is a nonprofit website. It's not going to cost you anything to participate in it, and I think that it definitely gives you some good features. And it's called Active Body at www.activebody.org. And you want to go to activebody.org, not .com, because .com is something completely different. And let me just read you what Clint said in his email to me about the website. He says, I run a website called activebody.org that allows people to keep track of workouts in cycling, running, walking, swimming, and gym workouts. And he wanted to know whether or not my listeners would want to check it out. And he says there's a billion different websites out there that will do this. And he says he knows because he's used a lot of them, and he keeps deciding that he's got to make his own. But ActiveBody has some cool features, and that's true. Like, there's a community challenge where you can try to keep your distance or time higher than everybody else that uses the site or maybe that does the same routes that you do. And it gives you just enough motivation to get out there and ride a little bit longer. I checked it out. It is a great database, a great place to track your rides or your runs or whatever exercise that you're doing, and to do it for free. So go ahead and check that out. It's listener Clint's website at www.activebody.org. Okay, next up, I want to tell you about a couple of rides that are coming up. The first one is up in Richmond, British Columbia, and this is taking place this Sunday, June the 4th, and it's the CVC Racing and Atomic Racing Future Heroes Criterium. Again, it takes place June 4th, 2006. All proceeds are going to the BC Youth Cycling Program, and that aids in the development of young bike racers for both road, BMX, and mountain. And that's a great cause for the cycling community to want to support. Link in the show notes at www.cvcracing.com. And if that's something that you want to do and you're anywhere near Richmond, British Columbia, you're going to want to sign up for this one pretty quick because it is this coming Sunday. The next one that I wanted to tell you about, this is one that listener Kevin from New Hampshire sent in to me, and this is the 25th annual Prouty Century Bike Ride and Challenge Walk. And this one takes place July 8th, 2006, and that's raising money for cancer research at Dartmouth's Norris Cotton Cancer Center. And you can find a link to that in the show notes, but it's the Prouty, T-H-E-P-R-O-U-T-Y, dot Kintera, K-I-N, T-E-R-A.org. Next up, June 25th is the Barlow Trail Century. Sorry for putting those in the wrong order there, but the Barlow Trail Century, and that one's produced by River City Cycles, and that's up in Oregon. And they say that this is one of the finest one-day supported rides in the state. You're going to find routes of 40, 60, or 100 miles, and there's approximately 6,500 feet of elevation gain when you do the century. And this is a really great ride. Entry fees are pretty modest, about $35 before June 12th, and that, of course, includes a free T-shirt. All proceeds from this ride go to Bicycles and Ideas for Kids Empowerment. It's a great acronym, B-I-K-E. And what's really great is there's going to be a lot of demo equipment available there from Seven, Serrata, Cannondale, Specialized, and Shimano. So there's three great rides that are coming up, and those are the ones I wanted to tell you about. But there is one more ride coming up in Northern California, September 10th, 2006, and I'm going to let them tell you about it themselves. Get on your bike and ride. Get on your bike and ride.
It's always difficult to see a loved one struggle with cancer, and there are many worthy organizations working to find a cure. There is another approach, prevention. Located in the San Francisco Bay Area, the Breast Cancer Fund's mission is to identify and eliminate the environmental causes of the disease. For example, some plastic water bottles contain chemicals linked to breast cancer. The Breast Cancer Fund is working to eliminate these and other dangerous chemicals from consumer products. I'm inviting you to participate in the 4th annual Bike Against the Odds, a fundraising ride for the Breast Cancer Fund on Sunday, September 10th. You can either ride or sponsor a cyclist or team. There are five beautiful routes winding through the picturesque East Bay Hills, ranging from 12 miles to a challenging full century. The Oakland Yellowjacket Cycling Club members will keep the bike riders safe and on track. At the finish line, a delicious organic lunch, live music, and an expo await you. For donations or signups, please go to www.breastcancerfund.org, spelled F-U-N-D, and click on the Bike Against the Odds link. You'll be glad you did. Thanks and tailwinds to all the cyclists out there. In the background, you've been listening to Scanlan on the PodSafe Music Network.
Wow, thanks for that really well-produced promo. And if you want to do the ride, it's www.breastcancerfund.org. Okay, well, it's been a little time since we've done some shout-outs on the show, so I've accumulated a couple, so bear with me here. First one, congratulations to Neil from Salt Lake City, Utah, who just completed his first century. Second, I want to say hi to Dennis from Illinois. Now, Dennis did a ride that we talked about here on the Fredcast a couple of weeks ago, and that's the one in Chicago where they actually closed down the streets, and they call it Bike the Drive. He completed it this weekend. Congratulations. He said there were over 20,000 cyclists out there on the route, so that must have been a blast. And he even sent along a link of some pictures that he took, and I put the link in the show notes for you. Also wanted to say hi to Greg in Minneapolis, hi to Dan from Littleton, Massachusetts, and Chris from Cheltenham, Victoria, Australia. Also to Chris from San Antonio, Texas. Now, Chris had this great idea. He thought it was probably a pretty Freddy thing to do to compile a list of good cycling books and reviews as well as ISBNs, and probably going to be doing that over there on the Fredcast forums, so take a look for that. Chris, thank you for doing that. Want to say hi to Helen from New Zealand, expecting to hear more from her very soon. Also, Dan from St. Louis, and finally, wanted to give a big shout-out to Eric, who actually put the Fredcast on Wikipedia. So that's fantastic. I put a link in the show notes to that one because I thought that was really cool. Well, that's going to do it for the show for tonight. It's a rather long show. Apologize, but I had a lot to tell you about this evening. As always, appreciate all of you out there voting for the Fredcast at Podcast Alley, and there's a link in the show notes, and also for spreading the word among your friends and colleagues and fellow cyclists and club members and racers. Lots of new Fredcast listeners every single day, getting a lot of really great emails. We certainly appreciate it. You too can participate in the show in a lot of different ways. Of course, there's the Fredcast forum at forums.thefredcast.com, where you can interact with other Freds when perhaps maybe I get behind on emails, or you just have a really quick question and you'd like to get a lot of input from a lot of other Freds out there. That's forums.thefredcast.com. Of course, you can always send me an email. My email address is thefredcast@gmail.com. You could send me a text email or, of course, an audio comment. And you can also send a voicemail to the Fredcast listener hotline. And that phone number is area code 206-203-FRED. And always be sure to visit the website at www.thefredcast.com. Tonight's PodSafe cycling music comes to us, as it does every week, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. But this one actually comes to us directly from the artists themselves. This is Sonny Combs and Kitty Cat Rodeo. Sonny sent me an email and asked if I'd be interested in playing one of his tracks, and I definitely was. This is Guess She's Right by Sonny Combs and Kitty Cat Rodeo. Links in the show notes to the Sonny Combs website as well as to their PodShow site. And that's going to do it for the show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Until next week, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.